Hello, and welcome to the Nutrition and Life Podcast. This is where we look at various nutrition and fitness-related topics through the lens of application. We want to give you practical takeaways so that you can create your healthiest, best self backed by knowledge. Now, onto the episode with your host, Coach Lisa.
Hello, and welcome back to the Nutrition and Life Podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Jason Wells. He's the owner of Anytime Fitness in Springfield, Missouri, and a coach at Gold Standard Nutrition. But most importantly, or most impressively, he has had an incredible weight loss journey himself, losing over 245 pounds, and now is helping others achieve the same, and of course, keep that weight off as well. So welcome to the show, Jason. I'm super excited to have you on.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Excited. Pleasure being here. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about your journey, just in general, when your health and nutrition journey started, what it's been like since then. And then, of course, we'll get into some details in the sense of what's helping you keep all that weight off.
Yeah. So I started, I grew up in a family we're all big guys. My dad's a big person. My brother's a big person. And it's one of those when you're growing up, I was very athletic in school. I played college sports. Got out, you know, jumped into the restaurant business. You know, kids, you get lazy. I mean, you get complacent, put on a bunch of weight, got up to my highest actually was about 475, 480. When I started my journey, I was about 455. So Thanksgiving of 2016, I had a gout attack in my foot. And when I went to the doctor to have it looked at, I hadn't weighed myself in for ages. So I step on the scale and it read 455. And I'm like, hey, your scale's broke. And they're like, no, that's right. You know, and so we're sitting with the doctor. She's talking about gout. And I'm like, how do I get this weight off? Like it was a wake up call for me. And of course, you know, she's like, hey, all your blood work is really good. So, I mean, you're healthy. And I'm like, yeah, until you have a bad day and have a heart attack, you know. I don't want to live like this anymore. You know, I have at the time had a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old at home. And, you know, and I was active with them, very, you know, into their sports and coaching and things. But, you know, it's the little things that you don't think about that we can get into later that made a difference too, that it's easier to do now. But she sent me to a nutritionist at the hospital, which was very bland. They gave me like a diabetic diet. And that I was only there for about 10 minutes. So it wasn't a whole lot of explanation on what to do. It was like, hey, read this pamphlet and go from there. And so January 5th is when I started. I quit drinking soda. I started working out 3 days a week. I was limiting my carbs because that's what the diabetic diet was. And I lost 30 pounds off the bat just within a month, just 30 pounds off. And a lot of that, not drinking soda and things like that, probably inflammation, clean up my diet. But then it stuck, like it wasn't moving. Like I lost those 30 pounds and it was stuck and very frustrated. And my niece is one of John Gorman's very first bodybuilding clients. And so I was picking her brain on things and she's like, you know what you ought to do? Just hire a diet coach, hire John. And of course, and I'm like, he's a bodybuilding coach. And she's like, well, no, he's a diet coach. So I started with him in April 2017. I weighed about 420 in that ballpark when I first started with John. And he, you know, wrote me a macro diet. We called it, you know, old school, if it fits your macros type diet, you know. And I got on that and I'm a black and white person. I'm a numbers person. I'm a very numbers oriented. So that was kind of fun for me because it was like a numbers game. You know, I always say macro dieting is kind of like, you know, a puzzle that you get to cut your own puzzle pieces, you know, to make it fit. And so we started dropping, you know, 2 pounds a week, 2 pounds a week. And then Jonathan, you know, when I say black and white, like I never cheated on my diet. Like it was, and, you know, he fed me enough that I never really felt hungry. But, you know, when you're that big, you know, I think you have enough stored up energy and nutrients that, you know, it helps out. But, and of course, the bigger you are, the faster I was losing. I've learned that now. But, you know, we dropped 2 pounds a week, 2 pounds a week, 3 pounds. And next thing you know, the first year we lost over 100 pounds, and we were part of a transformation challenge with another supplement company that we placed really high in. And then we reverse dieted for about 6 to 8 months. I lost another 30 pounds reverse dieting. And then we went back into dieting and lost the rest of it. I jumped into a bodybuilding show. I had skin removal surgery about 4 years ago. Had a abdominoplasty done for the loose skin. We jumped into a bodybuilding show in Orlando, Florida, and I won my division. It was a transformation division. Got invited to the world championship. We went to that. It's pretty surreal. My story is funny, is you're up on stage with all these other guys that's lost a bunch of weight. And I always say mine's pretty boring because most of them, had some kind of life-altering experience that made them want to lose weight. Mine's pretty vanilla. It was just I was tired of living the way I was. There's not an aspect of my life that isn't enhanced or better from me being healthier. From little things like tying your shoes. I mean, when you're 450 pounds, tying your shoes is a chore. So what happens is you end up buying shoes like your dress shoes. Obviously, I was in a professional world also, where you just stay away from shoelaces. You buy slip-on shoes, or even shopping. When you're that big, you're very limited on where you can shop for clothes. You're going to the big and tall men's stores. You're shopping at Dillard's here and the malls because they have a big man section. And I remember needing a suit for a wedding. And I was probably about 230 pounds. So I'd lost about 100 and, 200, over 200 pounds. And I walk into Dillard's, this department store, and it hit me because I could shop the rest of the store. And it was almost overbearing. Like I didn't know where to start because I'd never had this whole store to shop at. I was always confined to this little section. And so it's all those little things that, you don't think about that, that really make the difference. The weight loss is great. The mental, what you grow mentally is just as important as the physical attribute. I'm way mentally stronger than I ever have been. My confidence is super high. It paid off in my businesses. It's paid off in my diet coaching. That was never, if you would ask me 7, 8 years ago, if I thought I'd be where I am now with fitness, I would have laughed at you, so now it's more geared towards showing people what is possible that, I'm obviously not genetically gifted by any means. And the fact that I could do this, anybody can. I have a very busy lifestyle. So, people talk about not having time. Well, I run a business. I have two gyms. And when I started, I actually owned a gym, and I also own three Midas re automotive repair centers, which I don't have those anymore. I still have the gyms, but I work for a food distribution company. I run their sales division, or I work in their sales division. I also run multiple youth sporting divisions in my hometown. Like I run baseball, I coach junior high baseball, I help with the high school program. I run the youth football program. So, I mean, I'm busy, but I was still able to get this done because it was this prioritizing what was important to me is what I had to do, and it makes a difference. And there's a bunch of little nuances I'm sure we'll get into, but that's pretty much my story in a nutshell is I lost most of my weight within the first 2 years. And since then it's been building, then cutting, then building, then cutting to build a physique that I'm happy with. We're in the middle of prep right now, actually, as we speak. I got some shows coming up in July and August. And we're gonna, these are a local show. Then I'm gonna actually go do a show with one of John's other clients up in Iowa. So it's for fun. It's kind of neat. I don't ever anticipate winning those shows. It's really just to show people what's possible. That's the only reason I'm doing it. So.
I love that. That's awesome. I mean, all in all, a super, super incredible journey. And I have actually heard that a few times from my own clients as well, where they just said there was nothing in particular where, someone died and I suddenly thought, or my doctor told me you need to lose this weight. It was literally, as you put it, being tired or getting tired of living that certain way. I am also very impressed that you said you have never, quote unquote, cheated on your diet during that time in particular, because so often, I mean, I can imagine you stayed in your environment. Like it was not like you went to a whatever weight loss camp and then, there was no temptation.
Right.
You kept living your usual life. So I could imagine, when you ate out with friends or someone might have said, oh, hey, Jason, why don't you have this and that or whatever. I mean, I'm sure it was challenging, but tell me a little bit about that.
So I probably did it the wrong way, because that's part of the little nuances with this. My weight loss was very good. I mean, I didn't have any setbacks, but I definitely had struggles, and that was one of them. I grew up, I mean, I'm in a family. Obviously, I work in the food business, so I'm around restaurants all the time. Plus, I come from a family that enjoys eating, and they enjoy eating out. And I think with the knowledge I have now, it would have been better. But back then, I was so scared to go eat off plan that I'd become a hermit, which wasn't healthy from a psychological mental side. But like, if my kids wanted pizza, I would send them to my wife to go get pizza, and I would stay home and eat my cooked meal. Things like that. I just shied away from it because I didn't trust myself to say no, so I just didn't go. And I don't really regret it in a way. It's 50-50. I mean, I'm like, okay, well, now I know the knowledge I have now. I'm like, okay, I could have gone and made it work. But at that point in time, I was on a roll and I was losing weight. I guess I was afraid of if I ate that one meal off plan that I would put all that weight back on, which we also now know it doesn't happen. But I mean, I remember actually arguing with my coach about cheat meals. He would say, hey, why don't you go out Saturday and have a cheat meal? And I'd be like, I'm good. I don't want one. And he's like, well, no, I want you to take one. And we'd argue for an hour over it, to the point where we would go do talking events down in Tampa or stuff for a supplement company. And he would like trick me into going to have a cheat meal with him. So I was so scared. But it developed. I actually developed a pretty unhealthy relationship with food, and it probably took me 6 months to get over that. I've just kind of, when you're reverse dieting or you're off season or whatever you want to call it, there is some ability to have some variance, and I just didn't take advantage of that because I was scared. It took me a while to get over that. So that's one of the things I teach with my clients now is, educating them up front, which John did. I just didn't listen. I mean, is trying to get them to understand that it's okay to have a life when your gen pop, your general population. If you're not trying to get on stage, it's okay to go out and have that one. Just be cognitive of what you're doing. Don't order the 24-ounce T-bone and a baked potato and then have four desserts. I mean, be mindful of what you're doing when you go out. I mean, I don't know of any restaurant that can't make it work for you. I've been out several times since then, and if you want to go have a steak, go have a steak, but maybe instead of having the baked potato, maybe have some steamed vegetables with it. Or, you don't need to eat the whole basket of rolls because they put it on the table. Things of that nature that I've taught myself better things to do. But I would say that's probably that in a nutshell when it comes to how I handled going out to dinner. It was not the right way to compare to what I do now.
I do think for
The
some
little.
people, like an initial, almost like some people need that hard buy-in. They need that restrict from
They
one to
do.
the other. And then the important thing, as you mentioned too, is that you then transitioned out of it. I think the danger comes into it when we don't catch that early enough as a coach or as the person themselves, and then it becomes from restrictive to more restrictive to more restrictive to more restrictive. And in the end, you're afraid to eat anything other than chicken breast and broccoli. That's the danger. You don't want to go on vacation with your family anymore because you think, like if it gets to that point, that's no good. Or the other scenario, which I have also seen, is that people are so restrictive for a certain time and it might not even feel that restrictive to them at that point. But then something happens. And because they have never practiced just having one roll or just having one dessert, suddenly they go out, they allow themselves something, and then they have everything, and then they gain it all back and they lose kind of momentum. So I've seen both things, and of course, that is precisely why practicing refeed days or quote unquote cheat meals on occasion, or even just I don't even wouldn't necessarily always frame it that way, but in the sense of like, hey, you can build in a couple of pieces of chocolate into your day if that's something that you enjoy, but you're kind of afraid of, even in a deficit or even whatever. So I don't know if you see the same thing with your clients, and you mentioned that nowadays you try to educate them on it a lot more.
I do. I think you have to read the client and kind of understand what their background is. Some of them are going to have that ability to have a little bit more freedom. I think they can handle it, but then you get some like me where they need that very strict, for several months until they get a grasp on how nutrition really works. Because I've had several clients that have. This is their second round of hiring a diet coach. They used somebody else in the past, had really good success, fell off the wagon for several years, and now they're back. So they have a pretty good understanding about how it all works. And then you have some that are kind of like me that are brand new to this. And maybe their family history is kind of like mine. Maybe they're, they come from a big family who likes to eat and they don't have that self-control to say no or understand that. When you go out to dinner, you don't have to order what everybody else orders. You can do what works for you. That was probably my fear was I'm going to see somebody have something on their plate and I'm like, oh, I want that. And I'm going to order it, So, I think that's what I work with my clients is I try to find out what their background is. I try to understand what made them overweight in the first place. And that tells me a lot about their lifestyle and kind of what their history growing up is. I found out with a lot of mine, it's very driven on how they were raised. What kind of family, were they a sports family? Were they not a sports family? Were they, Italian family because they eat, things of that nature. Trying to find as much as I can about their background helps me help them. So.
Well, I mean, speaking of that, of family, you're obviously still part of that family. That hasn't changed, and I assume that some of their eating habits haven't changed either. So that would be my question to you now. How are you making sure that you're A, staying on track, and B, still enjoying family time with them, given your new lifestyle, your new food choices and everything? Did that require a time of like complete abstinence, or like a time where you completely stayed away from them as well? Did it come down to like good communication with you and them in the sense of, hey, I'm just looking after my health now? Yeah, I guess I'm curious about that.
Say that again. You broke up there for a second. Say that question again.
So
You paused. It froze on me.
how do you navigate family outings nowadays, given that your lifestyle has changed, your food choices have changed, and also like what during the extreme weight loss, did you kind of stay away from them completely, or did you just communicate very well with them in the sense of, I'm just looking after my health now?
So, during that, I went through a phase where I stayed away from them. And then they kind of got used to what I'm doing and kind of jumped on board. Once I kind of, when they started seeing me have results, they understood. When I first started, they did not. So when they started seeing my results, they understood. And so that kind of turned into like, hey, we're going to go do this, but is this something you can do? So they were very on board with it, which made it a whole lot easier. They started doing a lot more stuff like at somebody's house. Knowing that I would bring my own food so I could still be around the family. Nowadays, it's a little different. I mean, they know that I'm very into this. And actually, tell you the truth, I'd say probably 40% of my family has jumped on board with it. So it makes it a whole lot easier because we're all kind of on the same path. So.
That's awesome. Well, and then how did all of that lead you into coaching, really? I mean, obviously people probably noticed your results, and maybe they approached you directly, or how did that come about?
Yeah, I never really thought of myself as being a coach. And then I started getting people ask me tons of questions, from social media, in person, at the gym. And, I gave them good advice and it helped. And you have that feeling, I got this warm, fuzzy feeling of helping people. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. And that's kind of where my coach, John, kind of started gearing me, like pushing me towards helping people. And, I kind of fell in love with the idea of, I know how I felt when I had success with this, and I wanted to be able to give other people that. there's a feeling of something inside you when you see somebody have success in this business, and losing weight and becoming healthier, and seeing how their life changes when they're doing it, that I kind of fell in love with the process of doing that. So,
Awesome. And you mentioned also that
thanks.
nowadays your mindset, like everything in your life is stronger, is better, but also you mentioned your mindset and your confidence. Is there something in terms of mindset work that you were doing along the way in order to create that internal strength as well, or in order to stay strong and not regress, I guess?
I think part of that is doing the bodybuilding prep for me, because it does hone me mentally, because that makes me really dig down. It's really taught me to choose the harder path on just about everything. That's really kind of what it boils down to, I think, for me, is I need the challenge. It hones my mentality, and that's kind of way the dieting was. It was hard. I mean, I'm not gonna take anything away from it. Like, there's a lot of hard decisions you have to make, a lot of sacrifices that you have to make. And I think what I learned about myself is I'm very challenge driven, so I have to challenge myself, and that's how I try to keep myself mentally sharper. And if I feel myself fading away on that, or it going down, as I find a new challenge, whether it be a business related, whether it be with one of my clients, to maybe experiment with a different way of dieting, or maybe it's diet prep for myself. So.
Awesome, very cool. I have heard, or I don't know, maybe you have too, but on various other podcasts, when it's always about people losing quite a bit of weight and keeping it off successfully. Of course, the statistics are horrendous when it's, I think it's like 5% that after 5 years still have all that weight off. But one sort of famous person that I keep hearing about on various podcasts is someone named Ethan Suplee. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he was in, I think,
About
American History X, and he was in Remember the Titans and stuff. And so he was over 500
oh
pounds.
yeah the yeah sorry about yeah
And he always says after every workout or whatever, he basically says, "I killed my clone again today." So basically saying he had to create a whole new identity for himself. It does that ring true to you as well? Is that, do you feel the same, or is not really?
Point. Yes and no. I mean, I think my identity is different now than what it was then. From a business standpoint, I guess too, is I was known as the food guy, because that's what I did. I ran, I worked with restaurants and got on their, I was a food rep. And I think my identity now is no longer, most people don't realize I'm even in the food business. They think I'm just in the fitness realm. So, I push myself because of my identity, as people are watching. I have lots of people watch me on social media, or even in person here at the gym, and I feel like I can't let them down, because I feel like that's why I do it, and that's what drives me. And I know, I mean, it's not the right thing to do, but that's what works for me, is knowing that I may be inspiring somebody else. So I don't know if it's really changed my identity that much. His is a little, probably a little different than mine, maybe, I guess. I think it all depends on what you need mentally to make yourself keep going. Where his is talking about he's fighting his old self still, where mine is, I'm going to try to inspire one person today. That's the way I look at it, so.
That's awesome. So, what advice would you have for someone who is unfortunately a little bit stuck in the dieting loop? So, they might be having success with macros, and then at some point, they particularly when it comes to, okay, let's do a maintenance phase, let's just maintain, that's when they probably, when they might struggle the most, or when they give themselves too much leeway, or when they're away for a vacation, or just the let's just say the typical sort of person that constantly is in that, I'm losing 15 pounds, I'm putting some back on. How would you advise them to get into the mindset of having a reset?
So I think it goes back to learning their background a little bit, is People, and I have clients that have been this way where they lose 15 pounds and then they gain 10 pounds and they lose 3 pounds, they gain 10 pounds. And what it looks like to me is, most of them have some kind of trigger that triggers this coming off the rails moment for 3 or 4 or 5, 3 weeks, or how long it take, how long they do it. And I think what you have to do is, for me, it's educating them why we're doing the reset, why we're doing the maintenance, why we're doing the refeed, why are we doing the reverse dieting, and and try to keep them. I think you have to keep your clients engaged. And I think sometimes with coaches, we don't engage them enough. Like, we give them their plan, and then especially if they're doing maintenance, and we're just trying to maintain for a few months to repair the metabolism to start up their diet cycle. I think sometimes we don't treat that like it's still part of the diet. And I think as coaches, if we don't treat that as part of the diet, they're not going to treat it as part of the diet either, or part of the plan. They're going to be like, okay, cool, we're not doing anything right now, so I'm going to go eat this 3/4 of this carrot cake. And what I found too, I had a client that I had, and he would yo-yo. He would do really, really well, then he would put on weight. And what it boiled down to was, he had a legit addiction to Burger King, the fast food chain. And I'm all like, okay, well, those are things I need to know as a coach. Like, if that's a trigger for you, let's figure a way to make this trigger not a trigger. And what it was we just built it into his plan, because what would happen was, is he would not have it for 3 or 4 weeks. Then he would go and just binge. I'm talking binge on Burger King for 2 days. And what we found out is that if I gave him just a little bit to satisfy that taste bud or that trigger, I can manage it. That's usually what with those type of clients is, I just got to find out what their trigger is so I can manage it. And I figured out that if you let them have a little bit of that during the week, controlled, that they typically don't have those off the rails moments with that, with whatever that trigger is.
Awesome. That's a really good advice, and especially also with building that in or teaching them and having that conversation about building it in. Do you think it sometimes also comes down to like self-sabotage because they still want to fit in with their spouse or their family or their friends or something like that?
I think peer pressure is a big deal. Because they don't want to miss those events. They don't want to say no. I mean, let's say saying no to your peers is hard. And sometimes I think your regular Gen Pop client loses track of why they started in the first place. And they have no self-control when it comes to their peers, their wives, their friends that want to go out and have a drink, or and one drink turns into 10 drinks and a bunch of appetizers or whatever it may be. That's where I think you have to, you have to educate the people around you what your goals are. If you're trying to drop 150 pounds, you know what, your best friend, your wife, your whatever, probably needs to know what you're doing, so they don't put you in a position to fail. And I think that's a lot of times people don't communicate what their goals are with the people around them.
And so with your clients, is it always nutrition coaching and training or just one or just nutrition sometimes as well?
It's mostly nutrition. I will give them workout plans. I'm pretty laxed on that. Like, I tell them how many days I want to work out because their nutrition follows their workout. But as in giving them a specific plan, unless, I mean, I always send it with them, but there's variance. I want them, most of mine are pretty heavy set people, and I want them moving. That's the biggest thing. And so if they don't have access to some of the stuff that I want to do, or I just can't physically do it yet, I tell them to make modifications, but mostly nutrition. So.
I think sometimes people overestimate the effect that especially initially in a long weight loss journey that just nutrition has when they're like, oh, there's no point of starting if I'm not exercising 5 times a week or so. No. We can do plenty with just nutrition alone. You don't need to be
Right.
thinking that you need to spend 7 hours or something like that in the gym every single week. I think, of course, as we progress and, in a no doubt that more muscle mass is helping us along the weight loss journey and also with appetite regulation and all of that. But nonetheless, I think with nutrition, really, we can get a very, very long way.
Right. I think so too.
So with your own journey, you mentioned you have a few shows coming up. Anything, is it all in Missouri or whereabouts?
One in Missouri here locally in Springfield, and one up in Iowa. I don't even know what city it is. It was a that's another client of John Gorman's. It's been a long time client. Somebody's watched me and supported me the whole my whole journey, and she's doing the same show, and she's like, "Hey, why don't you come up and do the show with me?" So really looking forward to that because it's just something special. But we're doing one here locally just because I have so many people here locally that have supported me that they want to come and support me with that. So we're just doing one here because all my other shows have been either in Orlando or Las Vegas.
Right.
So, but so it'll be different with having people there that actually know who I am.
That's
So.
awesome. Well, super cool. And thank you so much for sharing your story, sharing everything that you're doing. I have no doubt that you're inspiring a lot of people on a daily basis. So keep doing that. And everyone listening, go and follow Jason on Instagram as well. His handle is coach_JWells. I'm going to tag all that in the show notes as well. Do you have a website for your coaching too, or is it mostly through
I
Instagram?
don't just do
Okay.
Instagram.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, awesome. Well, once again, thank you so much, Jason. It's been a true pleasure, and I hope we can catch up and do this again at some point.
Absolutely.
Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, or share the episode on social. Very much appreciated. You can also follow us on Instagram at Nutrition Coaching and Life, or head to our website, www.nutritioncoachingandlife.com, where we provide more valuable content. Have a wonderful day. Now go out and work on your best self.